Chapter 57 Unity of Good. Unity is the essential nature of Christian Science. Its principle is one, and the demonstration of that one demands oneness of thought and action. Mary Baker Eddy, 1888. For months, Mrs. Eddy had one obstacle after another thrown into her path, but her students seemed unaware of the problems and dangers. They were glamorized by her new home, the success of the church fair, and the general busyness. On the first day of the new year, the leader had a vision, which once again involved the original malpractitioner. Vision of January 1st, 1888. I was in my own house. Richard Kennedy, the fiend, came in and was so pleasant and plausible. I began to rejoice, thinking he was being reclaimed. He said, "Come and see me rock my father." He sat in the chair to see if it would hold them, and thought it would. He went for his father, when he jumped right up as sprightly as a young boy. The buildings seemed to be on fire. I tried to get there, but everything seemed to obstruct. I got to where I could see it, then tried to go back with the way hedged, I calling, "Fire, fire." Kennedy seemed to have locked the door against me. Only one student realized there was a fire. I could not make them see it. Mrs. Eddy was pushing on daily against obstructions, which her students could not see, fighting the flames of the malpractitioners while her students were fanning them. One early student recorded the leader as often saying that, quote, "evil fanned the flames, and the students blew the bellows," end quote. January 30th saw the convening of a normal class at the college. On the 26th of February, Chickering Hall was crowded for a service which has long been desired by many of the members of the church. In a very impressive ceremony, without the use of water, Reverend Mrs. Eddy baptized 29 children, including her 3 grandchildren. Whether this was a concession or an experimental step, it was never repeated. The next primary class was scheduled to convene early in March. George Glover had no desire to learn Christian Science, but suggested that his wife be included in the class. The burden the Glover family imposed upon our leader is revealed in this letter she wrote to George on the 1st of March. "I want your children educated. No greater disgrace rests on my family name than the ignorance of the parents of these darling children. You could read in the Bible very well when you left your mother long ago. It should be a shame to anyone at any age not to be able to read. If I were 50 years old and could not read, I would learn to do it then, even if I knew I should not live a year longer. If your wife will read to me a page of Science and Health wherever I open to it, I will then talk with you about her joining my next class." During the month of March, the little volume Unity of Good was published at last. Mrs. Eddy wrote to Ellen Brown, now Mrs. John Linscott, regarding the new book. that it, quote, was needed or it would never have taken about 6 months to get published. The way is always blockaded in proportion to the weight of good that is to be carried over it. End quote. On the 5th of March, Mr. and Mrs. Edward A. Kimball of Chicago were among the 47 pupils who assembled for the primary class, following which they returned home to spend several years in quiet study and practice. During the course, Edward and Kate Kimball called on the leader at her home on Commonwealth Avenue, which visit Mrs. Kimball later recalled in these words. We were taken up to her private sitting room, which was on the second floor, and she looked so different from her first appearance before us as a teacher, when she rather loomed as a tall woman and a manifestation of power. On this occasion, she sat curled up in an easy rocking chair and looked rather small and delicate, and she said she deeply wished sometimes that she could be a little old lady in a cap with nothing much to do. Much as she longed for rest, the battle was not over, and she was almost the only one who even knew that there was a battle going on. The students were involved with battling sickness, whereas the college advertisement stated regularly, quote, N.B., Mrs. Eddy declines to consult on disease, end quote. She declined consultation and did not take patients, but she never ceased to heal. A workman named Carter came to do some work at her new home. The man wore a heavy iron shoe, 8 or 9 inches high on one foot. In later years, Mr. Carter wrote, I was called to Mrs. Eddy's home on Commonwealth Avenue in Boston to do some light work. Mrs. Eddy came into the room where I was busy and, observing my condition, kindly remarked, I suppose you expect to get out of this sometime. I answered, No, all that can be done for me has been done, and I can now manage to get around with a cane. Mrs. Eddy said, Sit down and I will treat you. When she finished the treatment, she said, You go home and take off that iron shoe and give your leg a chance to straighten out. I went home and did as I was told, and now I am so well that so far as I know, one leg is as good as the other. Quote, Things to be Thought Of, end quote, by Mrs. Eddy, was the lead article in the March Journal. It included many points of resistance to unity of good. Two paragraphs that were later eliminated said, Because of the growing need of thoroughly qualified teachers, I am compelled to say that hereafter I shall receive only those students into the normal class whom I have prepared by a primary course. Let loyal, normal class graduates from the Massachusetts Metaphysical College organize a body to be called the Christian Science Union and hold regular meetings at intervals of not over 2 weeks. The object of this union should be mutual aid and improvement. It should be understood that no member is the leader of this body, though every member should strive to be the servant of God and led by His Spirit. The leader felt the need for union, but once again, her students were not following their leader. Vainglory, from Mrs. Eddy's pen, the previous November, had pointed to the pitfalls, but her admonition had gone unheeded.